We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Brandon Kelly, the host of Blue Wire's new podcast, Golden Goal.
Messi takes everybody on. Messi has got it!
From Lionel Messi to Marta to Pele, our show takes a deep dive into soccer superstars.
2-0 and he's... What a World Cup for Megan Rapinoe!
From Zlatan Ibrahimovic's brash confidence with the play to back it up, to Megan Rapinoe's heroic outspokenness and World Cup flair. Each episode examines a personality of the world's game. We'll dig into Maradona's Hand of God performance and subsequent downfall, the teenage trio at Dortmund that signaled the next generation of superstars, and that infamous headbutt that slung Zinedine Zidane from glory. Golden Goal, soccer stars and the moments that made them. Premiering this summer on Blue Wire.
In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots Podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time.
Welcome to another episode of In the Know, brought to you by our partners, betonline.ag. Man, it's been a while since we've had an episode, but now that the season is starting back up, we should be getting back on track here. Mason, what's up? I heard you got a little pup. What's his name? What is he? What's he up to? Tell me the details.
His name's Moshi. He's a mini Bernie Doodle, and he's a handful, but we love him. We picked him up actually right about this time a week ago. And so it's been quite a week. Not sleeping through the night. I wouldn't say I'm sleeping less, maybe a little less, but just waking up to take him out, a little harder in Chicago in an apartment lifestyle. And he's got he bites a little bit too much right now, but all things considered, I think we've had a good week so far, considering Anna and I both have never had a dog before. So this is our very first pet. It's been fun, and I'm sure it'll only get better.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be amazing for the rest of your life. When you say he bites a lot, are you guys like reacting appropriately when he puts teeth on you. You like, you know, really extravagant with your owls and whatnot.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. And just trying to avoid and get out of the way of bites when we can, just to make sure he's not even thinking about doing it as much. More easier said than done, but that's the kind of stuff we're working on. Yeah, we had a 6-hour drive after we picked him up in Ohio back to Chicago, and even before that we were heavy on the podcasts and trying to learn everything we could about how to train him the right way. So I think we're in a good spot. And I got a lot of good advice from people on Twitter too. So if you're one of the people who sent me dog training tips, I appreciate it.
That's exciting stuff, man. There's nothing like a young pup, and then, you know, it's good bonding time, and then they're gonna forge this like lifetime bond with you. It's going to be amazing. You're in for a really good ride. So I'm excited for you.
Yeah, but how you been? What you been up to?
Man, I've been good. Actually, you guys probably saw me posting about this on Twitter, but I just downloaded a new PlayStation game called The Ghost of Tsushima, and it is visually stunning. It is one of the most beautiful games that I've played so far. I'm not very far into it, obviously, because it came out yesterday and I've had some things to do, but it is just cinematically gorgeous, and the colors are gorgeous, and the camera work is gorgeous. And it feels fun to play it too. And it's a game set in feudal Japan during the invasion of the Mongolian Empire. One of Genghis Khan's nephews, I believe. I don't know what the, or great nephews or something like that, invades Japan, and you're on this little island, and your island got invaded. And you basically suffer, like, the island's army basically suffers a defeat, and then you're kind of like this disgraced samurai who's lost, but you're trying to win back the island, and there's Mongolians everywhere, and so that's kind of your tale of what you're trying to do. So I'm not very far into it. It's been amazing so far, and I can't wait to continue playing.
Well, I appreciate you taking your time out of your weekend to chat with me rather than go playing it. So, I'm not a big video game guy, or I definitely used to be when I was younger, and I never invested in the new systems, and but I can still relate to the addiction feeling when a new game comes out to just want to play and play. So, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's going to be exciting stuff, but we're here to talk about the Pelicans and basketball. And the Pelicans, since we've last recorded, have made it successfully into the bubble. And the bubble seems to be a sight to behold, depending on who you ask about it. We've seen many NBA players, especially on the first night, you know, post on their social medias about the quality of food, maybe the quality of accommodations, and they weren't too happy. And it's kind of funny because it came across as a little bit entitled, if not a little bit pretentious. And then ever since then, there's kind of been like this counter wave of like, no, it's actually not that bad. Like, it's pretty good. Like, I can't complain. And, you know, there's worse things out there, et cetera, et cetera. But it seems like the Pelicans themselves in general are handling themselves well.
Even though it's Tillman Fertitta sponsored restaurants, right?
That's just the most ridiculous thing ever. The NBA decided to give the restaurant contracts to pretty much all these restaurants owned by Fertitta. Like, what? That is, yeah, we can go on about that, but I'd rather not.
Yeah.
In any case, you know, there's been fun bubble activities. We've seen JJ Redick shotgun a beer. We've seen Josh Hart stream video games live from where he's at. We've seen Jackson Hayes take over a social media account on Overtime. A lot of golf going on. There's been some really good quotes to come out of it. Melly's said something along the lines of, you know, I like the United States of America, but your coffee sucks. And he brought so his own coffee machine. So it seems like the players are having a good time, and they're able to just truly focus on basketball, which is good.
Yeah, and we even got content as recent as like the last 24 hours with Redick and Hart have been particularly funny. Redick had with the ice bath, and then Josh Hart with the bath. I don't know if you can call it an ice bath, but yeah, it's kind of cool seeing how these guys are trying to stick to some semblance of normalcy in their rituals. Like, I think that was like a blow up bathtub that these guys were in, like, or that's at least what it looked like. And so, it's just, it's kind of funny to see all that. And it's the ability to reconcile that this is very off from what they're used to, but also in some ways maybe it could be better. I'm not even talking about the health aspect, whether or not they're more or less likely based on their daily lives versus where they are now to be at risk for coronavirus. I'm just talking about their day to day, the sillier stuff and just like the, ability to feel some sort of normalcy. And, we were talking right before this podcast about, there's an article came out, Harrison, put it out about LeBron and how this is actually something that, may in a weird way be nice for him because he's not going to get mobbed everywhere he goes. He's not the center of attention. He can just live a normal, quote unquote, normal life in the bubble. And you were saying how maybe Zion might feel that same way. We'll get to the fact that he just left recently, but I'm interested to hear a few other thoughts around that.
Yeah, basically, Zion has been this sensation since the latter part of his high school career, but obviously through college and in New Orleans, everywhere he goes, he gets mobbed, and there's this ginormous autograph line. There's cameras everywhere. There's reporters everywhere. It's hard to be a kid. It's hard to be a kid and just focus on basketball. And that's part of what, contributed to him being out of shape, because he had this whole like media and award circuit thing that he had to go through before the draft and shortly after the draft. And now this was this time for him to only focus on basketball away from everything. And I think the quarantine downtime really helped with that. And we saw the results of it with that amazing picture he posted of him being in really good shape, but being in the bubble, just focusing on basketball in a completely distraction-free environment, I thought was going to be really good for him, and it still might be, but unfortunately he's had to leave the bubble with a family emergency. And I'll be honest, like if he's leaving the bubble, it's probably not a trivial thing. And so my thoughts are with him and his family, and hopefully they can get that all sorted out. And my personal opinion on this is if it reaches a certain point, and by point, I mean like time frame, he should definitely entertain the idea of not coming back in the bubble. Obviously he and the Pelicans and his agent and family know what's best for him, and they'll figure out whatever's necessary. But I think there probably is a threshold there somewhere where the hassle of coming back in the bubble, going through another quarantine, and then missing all this time in terms of 5-on-5 play and missing the preseason and jumping straight into NBA games may actually increase risks for him as far as getting hurt or anything else like that. So again, I don't pretend like I have all the information, but I've mentally prepared myself for the fact that that's a possibility, and I'm honestly expecting it to happen, so I'm not disappointed later.
Fair enough. That's interesting. And I think if there's one thing we know about this Pelicans organization, and this really has transcended leadership groups, and this is that they're going to, always play it safe and do what's in the best interest of the player. And I don't think you'll see any sort of pressure from the Pelicans organization up top to bottom to get him to come back before he's ready. And so, again, we don't know exactly what's going on. I agree with you that we can assume that it's not great. I think that's taking that outlook is reasonable. Not to say it's likely, but I think it's definitely not a 0% chance of happening that he doesn't come back. We'll take it day by day and see. And I think the one thing also to mention is, respect it. Don't speculate. No one. The fact that the team was the outlet to really break this news, and not like some other media source, it tells you how close to the chest everyone's keeping this. And so let's just wait. Keep our thoughts with Zion and his family, and we'll see what's up whenever we can get more information from them.
Sports are coming back, and so are your chances to bet on your favorite teams and events. And there's no better place to start than our exclusive partners, BetOnline. Get in on the action for this week's big UFC fight, or check out odds on NASCAR, Formula One, and the Premier League. Can't wait for your team to come back? BetOnline has futures odds, including win totals, division winners, and even league championships. Or check out daily simulations of Madden and NBA 2K to watch and wager on. Visit betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to receive your new welcome bonus. That's promo code BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online wagering experts.
It's extremely close to the chest. I've asked a lot of people about this, and usually the people in the know who would know these things also have not heard a peep. And then obviously people around the team don't want to share. So they're keeping this very close to the chest. And I, at this point, you're right. I think we should just respect their privacy. But kind of on a lighter note, no Zion probably means more Kenrich, baby. And Kenrich Williams has been balling out at practice. I don't know if you guys have noticed. A few of us have been posting videos of Pelican scrimmages and drills and stuff online, and Kenny Hustle is back, and he's looking good. Do you have any thoughts on Kenny Hustle, Mason? Do you think he's ready to start 36 minutes a game?
If he can make more than 20% of his threes, that would be a nice plus. But, I mean, I think that's he's clearly a guy who can contribute and be a valuable player. I mean, Kenny Hustle, he earned that nickname, but he's – I mean, I think it undersells some of the other things he adds to the team. Mainly from defense and rebounding perspective. And so I think if he gets the opportunity, and look, it looks like I'm sure he's been focusing on his shot for as long as he has been able to. Obviously the health was a concern, and it was a back issue, right?
With him? Yeah, I think so.
And so that's something that's tough. Whereas maybe some certain injuries, you can still do a little bit of shooting while you're recovering. But I would imagine it's pretty tough to do anything like that when that's your back that's hurt. So, but yeah, it looks like he's ready to go. And I would hope and expect that. Well, I guess let's say Zion does come back. Do you think he's getting regular rotation minutes? I do, because I think they go a little bit longer in the how many players are getting some minutes, especially as they ramp up here. But curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I have no idea what the minutes are going to look like. I've looked up and down this roster, and the only people I feel comfortable about saying they should not get any minutes ever are Frank Jackson and Jahlil Okafor. That's it. I don't think those guys should get minutes. I think they will get minutes because of the nature of the bubble and the nature of the preseason and everything else. But besides that, I have no idea who's going to get minutes where. And, you know, it would not surprise me if Kenrich didn't play at all. It would not surprise me if he played 25 minutes a game.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that. I mean, also, I guess we have to consider the two-way guys as part of the team now. So I guess though you would include those two guys alongside Frank and Ja, right?
Honestly, I would play them way before I play Frank and Ja.
I agree with you, but if we're still stack ranking, I think you've still got like a dozen guys who you can play ahead of them, and I don't see a way to get minutes. But yeah, same page there.
I think we should see more Melly. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts some games, or is a spot starter or so, just to kind of take the defensive load off of Brandon Ingram, so he doesn't have to defend bigger fours. And to add a little bit of rebounding and perhaps even spacing, because I guess the alternative to start JJ. And while that lineup was pretty good and balling before Zion returned, I'm not entirely sure, you know, that's something they want to lean on. I feel like that's just such a small lineup. But who knows? I think I'd be fine with either JJ and Melly in that starting spot instead of Zion. And I'm sure they'll figure out whatever they need to when by the time the first game comes around. And the funny thing is, I was looking at the schedule. I'm like, you know, I feel like all these teams are beatable even without Zion. Perhaps not the Clippers, depending on who's available for them or not. But like the Pelicans played the Jazz close multiple games and basically lost on fluke the first time around. And then the second time around, they did beat them. So the Jazz are the first game. The Jazz are missing Bogdanovic. They're going to be perhaps a little bit less of an offensive threat than this time around. And then this time the Pelicans should have Favors more healthy and a few other people more healthy. So I don't feel like that's this unwinnable game without Zion. Do you?
No, I don't. And that's you bring up Favors, and that's someone specifically. I was talking with some friends about who do I think, you know, who's the most likely guy to take a big jump other than Zion from pre hiatus to now. And I really want to believe that Favors is healthier than he was before the play all stopped back in March. Because, I mean, it does look like he's, even with the Pelicans this year, now the on-off court metrics be damned, it looks like he's been a little bit, I don't know if it's slower or less nimble than he was in Utah. And so I'm very curious to see how he looks with the time off. I definitely agree with you that the Jazz game is a winnable one when things start back up.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Favors, who I agree is probably one of the biggest beneficiaries from all his time off. Hopefully his back and knees have recovered to the point where he's feeling good. He's feeling springy and mobile enough. And I think that in and of itself would be a huge lift to the defense. Not that, you know, Favors wasn't providing one by just not being Ja or Jackson Hayes, but
yeah.
You know, if he looks like anything like Utah Derek Favors, then the Pelicans have themselves a real contributor.
Yeah, like the rim protection numbers fell off a cliff this year for him. And I don't think he was ever elite in that area, but he was definitely above average. And this year he hasn't been. And so I think even if we can get him back to being an average to above average rim protector, in addition to the other things he does for this team on defense, would be a big win.
Yeah, speaking of body development, a few other Pelicans have gone through changes. I think Brandon Ingram has put on some weight. Did they put a number on how much he gained?
No, I haven't seen anything.
Okay, well, Brandon Ingram's put on some weight, so they say. J.J. Redick has dropped some weight. Nikhil Alexander-Walker has grown. And I think, this might just be me, but I think Lonzo looks bigger. I could be wrong. But I think another year of physical development from some of the young guys should go I don't want to say a long way, but it should help, because we saw with Brandon Ingram this year, just by being stronger than he was in years past, he was able to get to spots and finish shots and not be bumped off his line when driving as frequently as he was in the past, and also get to a line a lot too. So I think those physical development areas are something that David Griffin has touched upon in the past, where he talks about, like, you know, these guys having the core strength of like baby giraffes, essentially. And so when these guys develop, hopefully good things will happen. But I guess it's a little too early to speak on that.
Yeah, I mean, and speaking about Brandon and Lonzo specifically, see, I kind of feel like adding muscle will help Ingram more in the defensive end, whereas for Lonzo, I definitely think it helps him more on the offensive end. So I think, you know, I think Ingram, they're going to get a wide range of perspectives on his defense, but I think you and I would both agree that it wasn't good this year. And I think just being able to add strength, it helps him fight with guys and maybe takes some of the pressure off of other aspects of him on defense. And if he can just body up to guys, I think that helps. And then conversely for Lonzo, I think adding that strength is important for him to finish through contact. And it also maybe helps him mentally and to believe in himself that he can get, you know, because we know he can drive. It's what he does once he gets there that's the problem. And so if he has the confidence to go into contact and finish or get to the line and then knock down free throws, I think that would be obviously a huge step forward for his offense and really open up a different part of his game.
Yeah, you see, like, I'm still more intrigued by the defensive end. I think if Lonzo continues to get stronger and fills out into this truly like wing sized player where he is, you know, 6'6", 6'7", maybe with a 6'10" wingspan. Like that's a prototypical wing in today's NBA. And if he's strong, like, I think that kind of puts him on this path to potentially be this defensive destroyer. And I don't think he's ever going to be Jrue Holiday at the point of attack, but, you know, I don't think he could be far behind. But I think where his real value is going to be is just this like multi-positional Swiss Army knife that just destroys passing lanes and creates a ton of havoc off ball. And then, you know, once if he's creating all these steals and if he's digging down against post opponents and switching left and right, he's going to create a lot of transition opportunities. And we know how good he is in transition at finding the right players and finding the right shots. And it's going to be a track meet if he's the defensive player that we think he's capable of being.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there kind of going back to the Zion question of whether or not he comes back or when, Do you think, and you were saying that they can still do pretty well without him. I would assume that if Zion's out, so the Pelicans are currently 1-point favorites against Utah, or that's what number I first saw. And right now I would assume the only game they would not be favored in with the healthy Zion is the Clippers game. Do you think any other games, the Jazz probably flips, the Jazz are probably favored if Zion can't play, but are any of the other games like Grizzlies, Sacramento, Washington, San Antonio, and Orlando, would you have the Pelicans favored in each of those games with or without Zion?
Yeah, I really would. The Kings game is the one, or the two games that troubled me, because I think they can be a wild card. With Zion, I would not have had any problems with them. Without Zion, I feel like it's potential they can be a wild card, but they have their own mess of issues. I think, was it four players on the Kings tested positive or something like that? I don't remember how many. They had a handful of positive tests. They had Rashawn Holmes, who had to quarantine for an additional 8 days in the bubble because he crossed the line.
Postmates.
Right, first to go get food. So that's, 8 days where he doesn't get to practice and work out with his team. De'Aaron Fox just suffered an ankle injury where he's out for 7 to 10. Well, no, he's not out for 7 to 10 days. They're going to reevaluate him in 7 to 10 days.
Yeah. Right? Walton said he's not too concerned about it. So I, as of right now, I'm operating as if he's going to be back for their first game. But yeah, I mean, he's currently injured. And so it's a concern for them.
Right. That's just, to me, I'm looking at it, it's like you have such a short time to come together and practice. And yep. That's the entirety of your time to come together and practice that you're out. And I feel that way with Zion too, right? He's not going to have that opportunity, so I'm apprehensive about the return. But, I think Zion did return midseason in a lot worse conditions, if I must say so myself. And he was fine. I think he's going to be fine. But, like, when you have a whole team that's just kind of out and about and not really together, like the situation with the Kings, I don't know what that's going to look like on the court.
Yeah, it's that's certainly fair. And I think so the Kings probably have the most issues they're dealing with. Clippers, obviously Harrell left the bubble for not unsure why, but similar stated reason as Zion.
I think they mentioned grandma.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that. Thanks. Then we know your boy isn't going to be playing for the Wizards. That game should be winnable with or without Beal, but even more so now. Spurs have their own problems with Aldridge and Lyles. I mean, and then Orlando, I know obviously Isaac's out, which is huge, but he was already out long-term before the the hiatus. I don't know what their other status is like. Because that's like a sneaky tough game at the end of the season, because I can't remember actually what the Eastern Conference standings look like, but what their opportunity to rise or fall is. But I think that's a game they still have to watch out for a little bit. But I guess we'll see. My point
best,
is like
best other, case other scenario teams are, yeah. with Orlando is they've clinched their seventh seed, and they just shut down their guys for the Pelicans game. Yeah. That's the best case scenario.
Are they close to Brooklyn right now? Because Brooklyn's going to fall off a cliff. I mean, they still might make the playoffs, but they're going to fall off because no one's healthy for them or no one's playing.
They were close last I checked. But, yeah, Brooklyn doesn't have an active roster at this point, essentially.
And even Michael Beasley isn't playing, who they had just signed.
The Nets were 7 at 30 and 34. The Magic were 8 at 30 and 35.
Yeah.
So the Magic should clinch the seventh seed.
Yep, that's I'm looking at the schedule now, and I definitely agree with you. I mean, I haven't looked at each of those teams' schedules, but given the fact that the Nets are kind of a tire fire right now with who's going to be playing in the restart, you'd hope that Orlando can lock in the seventh seed and just kind of shut it down. So we'll see.
Yeah, so again, I don't see this. I think because of the way the schedule is laid out, Zion could take his time to return. And if he does take his time and he returns, I think the Pelicans could still be fine. It's just, I'm not too concerned about that.
Yeah. As long as what we're deeming fine. And I think this would be probably both of our views is that in good shape to be able to get the ninth seed, right? I mean, like eighth seed seems pretty far-fetched.
Screw it. Go for eight.
Even without Zion, huh? All right. Let's do
it. Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think if it was, if you started at 0-0 and you played this set of 8 games at the beginning of the season where no one's shutting down because of seeding and all of that, I think there's no way Memphis would hold a lead. But I think Memphis can luck out with, you know, they have a difficult strength of schedule, but I think they can luck out in the sense that most of the teams they might end up playing are probably going to be locked in wherever they are. And so what is truly incentive for them to ball out against Memphis?
Yeah, it's like very, very frustrating that like they close out with the top 3 teams in the East that all have like 2.5 to 3 game cushions on each other. And obviously Milwaukee's the last one and they're way up. I can't foresee a situation where they're playing all their guys normal minutes against Memphis. But even like even the Raptors and Celtics to a lesser degree may not have a ton of incentive to, you know, to go all out.
Yeah, if only all their coaches were Mike D'Antoni, who don't believe in that stuff. Play James Harden 40 minutes, which, yeah, the Rockets are an interesting place because their stars testing positive for COVID. Man, I will say, like, in the bubble itself, I feel like the NBA has done a really good job of preventing the outbreaks because there hasn't been an MLS situation where, you know, the Dallas MLS team, like, their whole traveling party got it upon arrival, basically, which was wild.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm looking up and down the Western Conference. Are there other, so Jokic is there, right? He's in Orlando now. Cause I know he was a late arrival.
Yeah. He's back.
Okay. Yeah. I think, are there any others that we just haven't heard anything about that just like, it's a, by default, we know that they're probably positive for COVID?
I don't know. I've lost track at this point.
Yeah, same.
Well, it's also because like the league is really secretive about it. Mm-hmm. They don't want anyone to know.
And so who is the Pelicans player who got it lit?
If you read between the lines of the reporters, it's Josh Gray.
Okay. I remember getting to a degree of confidence on just it being one of a few different players, but I just kind of stopped paying attention to it. So that,
yeah, it's Josh Gray. Everyone is in the bubble right now except for Josh Gray.
Makes sense.
There is, well, I mean, Darius isn't in the bubble, but the replacement for Darius,
but he was the practice facility,
right?
So
yeah, it's Josh Gray. Yeah. Well, I don't expect Sindarius Thornwell to get real minutes. I mean, we'll probably see him in these like scrimmage games, but I don't expect him to play any type of minutes because Josh Gray wouldn't have played minutes.
Yeah, well, hopefully Josh is okay. I mean, obviously, yeah, like you said, the league is keeping this as confidential as possible, which is only it's not that much, obviously, but hopefully he's doing all right.
Yeah. This concludes part one of the podcast. Stay tuned for part 2.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.